Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Father, we thank you for this hour. Father, we worship you. Father, we exalt you. Speak to our mouth, Lord. Talk to all of us. Show us the way that we should walk. So you hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way you walk here in it. Thank you, Father. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray.
And
sing that song one more time. This kind God. Hallelujah.
I never see your kind, you know. This kind of no. Blessed be your holy name.
Thank you, praise team. Praise ye the Lord. Let's go straight into the message. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, church. Amen. Well, today I was more or less trying to figure out what of these three sermons that the Lord wanted me to share with us. Before I forget, for the new families, I brought some of my old books. They are on the table there. Please pick one because they have been given out in the church already. And the Lord said, preach on how to receive your healing. How to receive your healing. And I'm going to tie it to two other topics, not really topics. I'm just going to share with you some of the things perhaps that hinder us from receiving our healing. Praise the Lord. Many times, many of us know that you go into crusades. People go into crusades where they are just unbelievers, or maybe not in America, or in many places where people don't have much faith. And ministers prayed for the people, and people will get instant miracles. Instant miracles. Most of those instant miracles, the Lord used that to invite people into the fold, to bring the people into the fold. He said, signs follow. Well, there are signs and wonders. But when you now come into the fold, you are not a believer, you are in Christ, the Lord expects more of you and me. He wants you to be built up, to grow, so that you can learn how to, because you, once you are in Christ, you are not expected to be sick and afflicted. You are not expected to be sick and afflicted. Because we are now in under the covenant, new covenant of Christ. He said that in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, he said, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Now, you have to believe that, and you have to exercise that by appropriating that, by confessing it. That's one of the few things I'm going to talk about in how to receive your healing and how to maintain that healing also. Praise the Lord. So, but in the household of faith, people have many ailments and people pray for them and they were expecting instant miracles. And they don't see instant miracles. And begin to wonder why it looks as if in the body of Christ, people that are born again and delivered, and then there are ailments, and we prayed, or they prayed and they prayed, somehow they were still struggling with receiving those miracles. Because of so many things. And that is one of the few things that I might want to point out. Some of the reasons why we don't receive our miracle, or how to receive your miracle, is what we need to teach one another. And when you receive it, how to keep it. The Lord so much loved us that he has put several ways in the Bible, several methods whereby believers can receive their healing. And I'm going to just iterate about four or five ways from the scriptures, what he has put in the Bible, how we can receive our healing. B, that we are under the covenant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Give me Mark, Gospel of Mark chapter 16. This is one of the methods that God has already put in the scriptures where believers can receive their healing. Mark chapter 16, from verse 16 to 18. Let me just read through that expression of our Lord. He said, verse 16, he said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Verse 17 says, "And these signs," now remember those are signs, "shall follow them that believe. In my name, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them." This is the verse we are going to. "They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Now, that is a means of receiving healing. So you can lay your hand upon yourself, because this is a promise of God. Somebody can lay hand upon you, and you can receive healing through this method. But maybe that doesn't seem to work. It's another method that he has put in the book of James chapter 5, verse 14. All of these are means of getting your healing as a believer now. James chapter 5, verse 14. Here, Apostle James was saying, "Is any sick among you?" Which means there should be no sickness among us. That's why I put a question mark. "Is any sick among you?" We said, "Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." Verse 15. Next verse. "And the prayer of faith," is the prayer of faith, "shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." Now, underline that last phrase, "if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." Which means personal sins could allow the enemy to, it's an open door for the devil to put sicknesses upon people. But then when they call for the elders and the elders anoint them with oil, pray the prayer of faith. What is prayer of faith? Praying and believing that you receive is the prayer of faith. "I pray and I decree." He said, the Lord Jesus Christ gave that in Mark chapter 11. I will get to that in a moment, but let me just quote it. In Mark chapter 11, what is a prayer of faith? Verse 24. Mark chapter 11, verse 24. He said, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them." That's the prayer of faith. You have to believe you receive them, and ye shall have them. Now, in that, James said, prayer of faith will save the sick, and if he has committed sins, the Lord shall forgive him. Now, that is another method of receiving your healing. That's the second method, anointing with oil along with the prayer of faith. Now, there's another one that is called praying one for another, which is also the same James chapter 5, but go further to verse 16. James chapter 5, verse 16. Now, this is a common one that everyone should be able to use. This is not talking of elders. You don't need to call for pastors or elders. It's saying between one another, confess your faults one to another. Now, this is directed to the body of Christ. Remember this. This is not for the unbelievers. This is not for the world. This is in the household of, it's in its own house. It's talking about all of these things we are pointing out here. They are for the house of God, believers. Confess your faults. That's one of the things we don't do often. That is, if you hurt somebody or somebody hurt you, Jesus Christ gave us what we say, steps to take. He said, if your brother offend you, what did he say? Go and talk to your brother yourself, one-on-one. And if he will listen to you, then you have won your brother to yourself. So you solve the problem. And if he will not hear you, take one more person with you. That is, tell this fellow and say, this is what my brother did to me. And you agree, that's wrong. Then both of you go and meet this brother, including his sister. And if he will not listen to the two of you, then you tell the church. Okay? That is, bring it to the people. Those are steps. And this is going in that direction. Say, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. This came to my own, to, the Lord brought this one to me one time. We visited a family in California. And this brother said, let's do breaking of bread. Just the two families. Oh, okay. So he brought the breaking of bread out. And I said, Brother Julius, you did it. You do the breaking of bread. So as I stepped out, the Lord spoke. I mean, it was like somebody was right behind me and said, he quoted this Bible verse to me. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. I said, stop. The Lord said we should do this. Praying one for another. The Lord has a reason because there could be faults between spouses, husband and wife. That was not really, they didn't need to confess it to me, but if you humble yourself under these Bible verses, the Lord will answer. There are many things that are in the household of faith that is, and that is, that could be a fault. It could also be between a person and a congregation, or a person and a believer, or a person and the leader of the congregation that is attending. If you confess it, that this is what you, if you have been convicted, of course, because if you think you are not wrong, the Lord will have to first convince you that you are wrong. He said, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. So we did the praying one for another on that day, and the Lord answered. But he wanted us to do that first. Confess your faults one to another and then pray for one another. That's another method of healing. Of that does not even require an elder. That's what I'm pointing out. It just requires that two people confess one to another that I did this, I'm sorry. And if you know the person, you can go to the person, I did this, I'm wrong, I'm sorry. And the fellow pray for you, you pray for the person. And that is what God is saying in the household of God now. And the Lord say, you'll be healed. Now, another method that God has put in his body for healing us is just by listening to the word of God. Like we are teaching, teach the word of God and you believe. And the Lord can heal you by the word. That's what you see in many places where people are just preaching and the Lord is working wonders in the midst of the congregation by just hearing. Just hearing that God can do this, God is doing this, and you believe it. God has used that many times to heal people. But in the body of Christ, just by hearing the word of God and then putting your faith in what you hear, you can get healed also. Remember that. But the problem with many of us is we were expecting instant manifestation of this healing. And that has been our problem. What do you mean by instant manifestation? People come forward, they are limping, and the pastor came and laid a hand upon him or her, and they are still seeing those pains, and they are not knowing how to exercise faith. The laying on of hands can be a point of contact. Then you have to release your faith that now, from the time he lay his hand upon me, I receive my healing. That's what the Bible said. Look at that Mark chapter 11 again. Mark chapter 11, verse 24. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ said. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. When will you have them? After you believe that you have received them. So if somebody pray over you, you have to believe that you receive your miracle. You say, well, but it's still painful. But that is where your faith starts. You begin to confess. If you believe you have received them, what should you do? You lift up your hands and say, thank God I have received this healing. And begin to thank him. And then you have them. Thanking him, then you have them. Now remember, life is full of processes. Many things are not instant. Most things are process. Put a seed in the ground and put water. How long does it take for that seed to germinate? Some time. Some will germinate quickly and you begin to see the shoot. But some things are process. And you have to remember that. And many times we believers, we stop the process by doubt, by shaking it out and say, well, the pain is still there. And I'm going to point two things out in what I just said. If you say the pain is still there, that is doubt, number one, but the word of your mouth is the next thing I'm going to point out, the word of your mouth. I'm going to point that one out. And then I'm going to point out patience. Those are the three sermons. I have three sermons, really, but the Lord said them just put it on divine healing. They are all related to the, if you are going to claim your healing, you need patience, number one. Number two, you need to watch what you are saying, what is coming out of your mouth. Because the Bible said you can be ensnared by the words of your mouth. That is very important. But what I'm trying to link it to is to make you to see that many times when you have prayed for yourself or somebody has prayed for you, you should, from the time they pray for you, believe that you receive that healing or miracle or anything you are looking for. Believe you receive them. And then if you believe you receive them in your heart, not just in the head, in the heart, now begin to thank God that, thank God I receive it. And it may not manifest yet. It may not show up yet, but don't change your confession. Amen? I don't think I'm getting through. Don't change your confession, because in changing our confession, maybe our confession is, I thank God I am healed. And but how long does it take for that pain to linger or for that trouble to linger? Thank God that you are healed. It's for everything. It's not just for healing. You can use it for you are looking for a job or you are looking for financial breakthrough. Once somebody has prayed or you've prayed and you believe, then begin to exercise faith. This is where the devil will challenge believers. The devil challenges us in that area. How long are you going to hang in there believing and thanking God that you have received the answer to your prayers? How long? But you have to, if you are a man of faith or a woman of faith, hang in there as long as it takes. Thanking God that you have received the miracle. And then Jesus can say, and ye shall have them. Remember, and ye shall have them. After you have believed that you received them, it didn't say you have to believe you have received them for 1 day or 2 days or 1 hour. And then if it doesn't show up tomorrow, you begin to change. Changing your testimony or your confession is the problem we have. And that is what I'm trying to point out when I say patience. Patience is a fruit that we all need to be able to walk faith with patience. Let me give you some Bible verse that points to that. Those who use their faith with patience, they inherit the promise by faithfully waiting. By faithfully waiting. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 36 or Hebrews chapter 12 verse 1, you see. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 36, let's see what that one says. Faithfully wait for whatever you are believing God for, and the Lord will give it to you. By don't change your confession. Very important. See, what you have need of, patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Whatever is the promise, there is a patience required. You need that patience to be able to get your miracle manifested to you. Now, I talk about the power of the tongue. That is where I'm going to wrap it up, because that is very, very important to us believers. What you say with your mouth. What you say, what you are confessing. Now, suppose you are having ailment and you went to church or you went to people and they prayed for you and believing God with you, and you claim your miracle, say, thank God I am healed. And you walk outside, somebody you have told some days ago that you are having this problem, and they met you, say, oh, how is your body? What do you say? Are you going to say, well, the problem is still there? Well, that is where your confession comes into play, because the devil even send people on your path to try to steal that testimony. But you have to testify. A man gave a testimony. Let me quote a story of a man that gave a testimony, teaching us how to exercise your faith. I'm just going to say the way I understood it. And it was a minister of the gospel. When he was still young, he had a problem. He woke up one morning, one side of his face was kind of paralyzed, not moving. And he went to the church and When they were about to wrap up, he told the pastor, can you pray for my healing? So, okay, come forward. They anointed him with oil, pray over him. And he said, all he was waiting for was the man to say, amen. Once the man finished, he just lifted up his hand and said, thank God I am healed. And he went back, and they were going home. The trouble was still there. The trouble was still there. And people, they are walking together and were saying, did you really get healed when the pastor prayed for you? He said, yes, I am. He said, but this your side of your face is still paralyzed. When you talk now, we can see that perception is not moving. I mean, they were telling him what we call reality. We could see that this problem was still there. And he said, but I know I am healed. He said, why did you say that? Because the word of God says so. And they went home and said, well, the woman called mom and said, come, mama, come and look. This man is saying he has been healed. Do you see any difference from when we went to church? And he was saying, oh, I couldn't see any difference. Why did you say you are healed? He said, but the word of God says, so I'm healed. That is your confession. You have to keep confessing the word of God. And that man and the mother said, well, maybe this man knew more, something about faith that we didn't know. And he went home. He said he still slept, thanking God that he was healed. He woke up the second morning, the problem was gone. So he went back to the same friends. And said, oh, you are healed now. We could see you are healed. Said, yeah, I was healed yesterday when I was prayed for. No, you are not healed yesterday to us. He said, you have to confess. Keep confessing the word. Keep confessing the word. You don't walk by sight. You walk by faith. Faith in the word of God. So that is what we are trying to point out. When you say the power of your tongue, what you say can reverse what you just received. Because God starts working from inside. Let's explain that. God starts working from the spirit. We are spirit, soul, and body. Remember that. We are three in one. Just like our God, three in one. We are spirit, soul, and body. Think of if you have your father and he has deposited money into your bank account. So you have money in your bank account, but if you don't know how to go and cash the money, you can die of hunger. But the money is in your bank account. But there are many ways that you can go to the bank and cash. You know, so now in the world, if you have what they call ATM card, you don't even need to see anybody. You have to know where the ATM machine is and cash. That's one way. You can go to the bank and they will give you cash after you identify yourself. That's another way. You can either write a check. Those are ways of getting your money out of the bank. Similarly, God has put methods in the Bible for we, his children, to cash in what he has already given to us. We have been healed 2,000 years ago. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he said he put our pains and afflictions upon Christ. Believe that. That is why the Bible is saying, when he said himself took our infirmities upon himself on the cross. When he said, by whose right we were healed on the cross. So we believe that all of those things were already deposited for us. We were already healed. In the mind of God, whatever sickness could come against you, you were healed 2,000 years ago. Now confess that you are healed after you have been prayed for and believe it and stand your ground against that disease or trouble and it will go. Believing. Remember that. That is why he said it is like cashing what has already been deposited for you in the bank account. But these are methods that we say, somebody lay your hand upon you. You lay your hand upon yourself. You have the same authority. You can lay your hand upon yourself and you shall recover. He said, Jesus Christ said, he shall recover. You remember that? And the sick shall recover. That shows there's a process. He shall recover. We have so many examples in the Bible where the Lord Jesus Christ told the 10 lepers. Remember 10 lepers? And he said, go and show yourself to the priest. When they cried unto him, Master, Jesus, have mercy upon us. And the Lord saw them and he said, go and show yourself to the priest. And they started going. When they were going to the priest, the leprosy was still there. We didn't know how many steps, how many miles to go to the city where they're going to see the priest before something changed and they were healed. So remember, there's a process for many things. And that is one of the things why we cannot try to change your confession. Like that testimony of that brother, that minister that gave his testimony and said, he went home and slept over it. And it was in the morning when he woke up, the pain, the problem was gone. And then it could be enjoyed. But when he was confessing, oh, now you are here. He said, no, yes, I was here yesterday when I was prayed for. Believing that the Bible is believing that when I release my faith is when they lay hand upon me. From that time forward, I'm confessing and thanking God I am already healed. Remember that. And you maintain that testimony because there is power in the tongue. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. Let's talk a little bit about that because that is one of the problems that we have as believers. Mark chapter 11, verse 23. Give me verse 23 of that Mark chapter 11. And that is where I'm going to wrap it up. Mark chapter 11, verse 23, not Matthew. Mark chapter 11, verse 23. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ said. For verily I say unto you that whosoever, that includes you and me, shall say unto this mountain. Remember what we are talking about? You want to be healed, the healing of your body. It's like a mountain. But say unto that mountain, you are not even praying this time. When you pray, pray means you are asking the Father, oh Lord, please give me this. Oh Father God, give me this. But now this is different. He's saying you are saying to that mountain. Why will you be able to say to that mountain? Because he has given you and me authority as believers. That's why you have that right to say to any mountain. So now he said, "What you are, this is a process, or what we call a methodology that God has, the Lord has given to us in this particular verse." He said, "Say unto the mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea." And that is the first clause. Shall not doubt in his heart. That is the first clause. But shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass. It is what you say with your mouth shall come to pass. So if you don't want it to come to pass, don't say it. Amen? You get so upset at your child, you speak harsh word. Do you really want that to come to pass? They don't say it. So that is what I'm trying to point out when it comes to the word of our mouth. Because we were relating to divine healing all along, but it's stronger than just divine healing. Because there is a technology that has come to us since I happen to be a technologist. Many years ago, 50 years ago, we don't have something that we call cell phone. No, sir. We don't have it. Now we have cell phone. And you can turn on your cell phone, and you can even ask questions from your cell phone. You can ask, what is the capital of so-and-so? And the answer, it will tell you. No, sir. We call it in the technological world, voice activation. You are speaking and it's answering you. Okay? Now, that is how far human beings have come. But the Lord is telling us from this Bible verse, Mark chapter 11, verse 23, that he told us, say, because there are technology, I call it technology, spiritual things God has already created. We discover some of these things in the again world. That's why God slowed down the human beings. God kind of slowed human beings down. 6,000 years ago, when he created Adam, and then they came to about 1,000 years later, and they wanted to build the Tower of Babel. God has to slow them down. Because if he has not slowed them down, they could have destroyed them, because they are going to destroy themselves next few years, third world war, nuclear blast, they will have destroyed the whole world. But suppose God did not slow them down. They could have done that 4,000 years ago and destroyed the whole world, because they are going to destroy the whole world in the third world war. That Bible just says, if the days were not shortened, no flesh will be saved. See? But the days will be shortened. So you can see why God slowed them down. That we are now coming to the point where we can do voice activation. And you can say, I turn in and say, Google, what is the capital of Kenya? And it will answer. You have yours, maybe yours is Siri in an iPhone. And that is what we have come to. That we have gone beyond that to do nuclear weapons and so on. But God is telling us, In the spiritual world, there are technology God has already ordained. We are being told how to tap into it. Just like God said, knowledge shall be increased. He allowed man to tap into enough technology that we are able to now do this voice activation of something. And you can now talk from here to China. Look like the fellow is there. You can even see the fellow in China. Nothing. And you'll be talking back and forth. That is how far we have been able to. But you see, all of those things, we were just discovering them. But you know, God has created some things in this world that we don't know how to tap into it. When I was talking on my radio book, I said, this one that we call technology here, we have what we call community of engineers that discover all of these things over the years. And now we have come to the point where we have voice activation. But there is a community of spirits, and they never die. And they have perfected this thing. The Lord Jesus Christ says, voice activation also. If you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea. But what can make it not to happen? Doubt. If I take my cell phone, I try to talk to him, and I didn't say it quite well, the button is not pressed. Even Mr. Google will not know what I said. That's like confusing the system. Christ said, don't doubt in your heart, but believe what you say shall come to pass. Believe what you say shall come to pass. That doubt is what can reverse and make it not to work. And now I'm saying that you can put that and extrapolate it on even healing of our body. What are you saying? After you have prayed for yourself, what are you saying with your mouth? Very important. Why? Because Jesus Christ said, it is the Father that is in me that doeth the works. That is the Spirit of God. And he's saying, those things have been ordained. What are you saying with your mouth? Are you confessing that I thank God I have received it, and somebody challenges you, well, you have not received it yet. Why do you say you have received it? Quote the Bible. The Bible says I have received it. Don't shame your confession. And there's a Bible verse that Lord Apostle Paul told us how to hold fast your confession. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Saying that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Actually, it means confession. Whatever you are confessing, hold it fast. The same thing was said in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. You need to hold fast your confession, confessing the same thing that God said. Confess the same thing that God said. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. If God has given you a promise, and this promise is what we just quoted in the Bible, if they shall lay hand upon the sick, they shall recover. That is for healing. In anything you want from the Lord, you need to exercise that faith. And when you pray, believe that you receive them. And after you say you believe you receive them, begin to thank the Lord that you have received them. And while you are thanking the Lord, the devil is challenging you to try to make you doubt because it has not manifested yet. Don't change your confession. Praise the Lord. Because the word of our mouth is what the Lord will use to make sure that we receive what we said we have believed God for. Praise the Lord. Now we're going to just pray for one another. That's how I'm going to wrap up the exhortation. That is, there are ways that you can receive your healing. And I tell some of those ways. Pray one for another. Somebody pray over you. They anoint you with oil. Then you claim it. All of those. Then you have to exercise faith after you have been prayed for, believing that I receive it and I'm not going to change my word. I'm going to keep confessing and thanking the Lord that you have received what you have prayed for. And that is not just for healing. Whether you're praying for job or you're praying for financial breakthrough. Once you have prayed, how many times will I pray? How many times will I pray? Pray and live. And you know, if you know he heard you, then begin to thank him. Because many times, just can say repetition can be a doubt. Repeating yourself can be a doubt. If I say I've prayed and I thank God he has heard me concerning my particular request, now I'm thanking him today, tomorrow, it has not manifested yet. You can say, thank you, Jesus, because I prayed yesterday, you have heard me. You have to maintain that and keep thanking him and don't assume that he didn't hear yesterday and throw that one and start praying all over again. No, you're just bringing in doubt. How many times should I pray? Pray once and begin to thank him that you receive it until it manifests. It's what I will say. Begin to thank him that you have received it until it manifests. There are some things you can say you are praying for nations. We are praying for Nigeria. We have been praying for Nigeria. We pray for America. We've been praying against all these coronaviruses. Well, if you pray that Lord move these things out of the lands, and we thank God, we all pray together, we thank God, and we believe God, and then you gather tomorrow again to pray, what should you say? God, move it out of the lands? He already heard you yesterday. Thank him that he has done it. Thank him that he has done it. And keep thanking him that he heard you yesterday, and the process has started. Don't begin to say, oh, maybe he didn't hear you yesterday. When he said, I heard you the first time you called. Amen. Another thing, another minister said something. He said, if I am praying for something and I didn't get it, there must be a change somewhere. A change, not with God. It has to be with us. Maybe something needs to change. Something needs to change. And that has to be with us because he never changes. So if you have prayed for something and you are not getting it, then maybe you need to look inside. What have I done wrong, Lord? Maybe the first thing we need to do is to check our love walk. Am I walking in love? Because that is the covenant. He said, a new commandment I give unto you and me, that you love one another. When he gave the commandments to Hebrews in Egypt, or when they left Egypt in the wilderness, he said, if you will keep my commandments and keep my statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you, which I put upon the Egyptians. Look, like that's their covenant. If you keep all these laws and statutes and obey his voice, you will not be visited with any of these diseases. But what is the commandment for us? He said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. So now, if I'm loving my brother, I'm talking of in the body of Christ, make sure that you are walking in love. So if there is anything you have been praying about, you are not getting it, the change has to come somewhere. Somebody has to change. Not him, me, you. And that is why you have to begin to look inside. Am I walking in? That's the first commandment. The only commandment he gave to us. If you walk in love, there's no reason why he shouldn't give you what you ask for. If you walk in love, there should be no reason for the devil to put any of these diseases upon us. Then we have to look inside. Am I walking in love? Between myself and my spouse, between myself and my brethren, between myself and anybody. Because anything that is contrary to love, anything that is causing hatred, it's not with God. He said that God wants us to walk in love because he wants to live inside us. He wants to be like him. And the only thing that can be hindering us, the first thing you have to check is to walk, check your love wall. And if you check your love wall, look at an example of Job. Job was afflicted. Because somebody may say, well, you know, everything does not depend on what you do. Job was afflicted. And his friends came and said, Job, you know, something must be amiss here. Maybe you have a secret sin that you have not confessed. And they were. So Job said he has searched himself. He couldn't see anything wrong. So that's why I said, just search yourself. If you cannot see anything wrong, then present your case before the Lord. Maybe you'll be like those that God is boasting of, like Job. And then God is going to come through for you. But surely in case there is something, that's why that angel told us in that place when we were doing a prayer meeting or we were doing a breaking of bread, confess your faults one to another. Because it could be from within us. That is why the answer is not coming. And when you check yourself that there's nothing, no hidden agenda, no hidden sin, I have walk in love, I've forgiven one another, I've asked for forgiveness for anyone that offended me, and this thing is still tarrying, then you can present your case before the Lord, and he will answer. But he said, confess your faults one to another. If you are not getting an answer, check within you. There must be a change somewhere. Praise the Lord. Let's stand up to our feet. That's how we're going to go out of the prayer. Let's stand up to our feet and thank the Lord and just pray. If you have any unanswered prayer, That's what we are going to pray for. Because we have talked about healing. It could also be anything. You pray for this, you pray for that, and things have not been, there's no breakthrough yet. We want to talk to the Lord. You don't need to anybody to pray for you. I want you to just think of what we have just said. Maybe the reason why you have not gotten your answer, maybe some deficiencies in me or in you. Ask the Lord to open it to you. Confess your faults one to another. When you see the person that you have offended, you want to apologize. There's a fellow that another testimony of a woman that has been going for prayer over and over again, and she has not gotten that healing. And she was in the meeting where the preacher talked about this, that you need to walk in love, and that could be the reason why some things were not answered. And she was convicted. She remembered that she and her brother, her only brother, have not been talking for 25 years. She said, She decided to go and call her brother after the fellowship. She went and called her brother and said, "Forgive me of that." And I've been trying to call you too. Forgive me. And they resolved that. And then she was healed without anybody praying for her. That is what we are saying. If you have any prayer, anything that have been in that prayer has not been answered, check yourself. Do you have any offense with somebody? I'm not talking to somebody in your church. Somebody, your family members, somebody that you are not walking in love. God is dealing with you and me, not with that unbeliever that you offend or offended you. Between you and me, because God wants to live in your heart and wants to answer your prayer. And for him to answer your prayer, you must be walking with him. Because Christ said, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you. And that's how we abide in him, obeying his precepts. And his word abiding in us, keeping to all those instructions that say, his commandment is to love one another, to have no animosity, abhor no animosity between you and anybody. And then confess to the Lord. You can make retribution, call the person if he is around, and say, "I forgive you. I'm asking for your forgiveness." And then you resolve it. The Lord even said it another way. He said, if you bring your offering before the altar, and you remember, because it's going to remind you, what is your offering? Praising and worship is offering. Or come and be prayed for is offering. Or whatever you come to the altar to fall before the Lord God, it's not like offering. He said, if you bring an offering before the altar, and there you remember that your brother, that means anybody that is family members, have aught against you, off any small thing. He said, stop that offering, leave it at the altar, go back first and reconcile with that your brother. So that's what I'm challenging you with. First, think about that. Do you have any hurt against anybody? You want to resolve that. And then God will answer whatever prayer you have been praying, financial breakthrough, jobs, promotion, health, deliverance for anybody. Let's pray. Just talk to the Lord yourself. And as you talk to the Lord and he brings something to your heart, tell him you are going to resolve it. He can even heal you on credit. Many people have been healed on credit by promising God, "Lord, I remember that fellow that is back in Africa. I'm going to call him or her and resolve this thing." And if you mean it in your heart, God gives that miracle to you. But it's on credit. But make sure you call that fellow that he just reminded you of and get clear of that. That is how the Lord works, and he's wanting us to exhort one another. This is what we are doing, exhorting one another. Why? We see the day approaching. The Lord is coming soon. But he wants his house to be pure and ready. So talk to the Lord. Father, we've talked, we've prayed. We are searching our hearts right now, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord. Individually, search your heart. Father, we are praying, Lord, if anybody hurt us, we want to release them. Before we have hurt anybody, Lord, reveal that person to us in our heart right now so that we can make restitution. After we leave this show, you want to call the person and settle the problem so that our prayers may be answered. Even he said, even husband and wife, spouses, he said, let's so that your prayers be not hindered the way you treat one another. Many people remember that he's talking to the husband, but he's talking to both of you in that case. Your prayer can be hindered if you are the one that is mistreating this other person. Your prayer can be hindered if you are the other person that is mistreating this other spouse. Let your prayer be hindered. So just talk to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to resolve all of this. Help me, Lord. And he will heal you because he already paid for it. But the devil is causing all those hindrances. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this hour of exhortation. And we claim our healing and deliverances and miracles and breakthrough that we decide that we have asked you, Lord, as we surrender our life to the word of the living God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And we receive our miracles. We receive our breakthrough. We receive our healing. And we receive the answer to all our prayers by faith. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.